We're going to spend a few weeks talking about missions. And I know those of you who've been around Koinonia for a while kind of know that every year we kind of pause and do this for a few weeks. For those of you that maybe are new, we kind of like, well, what's missions? What's this all about? And so I just want to spend a few minutes talking about why we do this. Why is this important? Why do we pause and kind of think about what does God have to say about the nations and the world and our part of this? And why is it important? And if you don't know, missions is a word that we use, Christian mission specifically, that simply means following Jesus' command to take the message about God's love demonstrated through Christ to the world. It's kind of simply what missions means. And it partly means going, it means sending. And it comes from Matthew 28. And in Matthew 28, there's a section of scripture that we call the Great Commission, right? And a commission is when you're given kind of something to do, right? You're given a task to accomplish. And it's after Jesus has risen from the dead, he's died on the cross, he's risen from the dead, and before he ascends to heaven, he meets with his followers, and he kind of gives them something to do. He tells them something. Usually we think that when someone is at the end of their time with you, right, their goodbye statement, right, is frequently something of weight and importance. And here Jesus is kind of giving this to his followers. And this is what he tells them. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded to you. Here Jesus is before he ascends to heaven, before he leaves his followers, and he says, I'm giving you a task. I'm giving you something to do. And he says, go. Make disciples of all nations. He tells his followers to do that. And I believe that that mission that he gave to his followers wasn't just for those that were standing there with Jesus 2,000 years ago. I believe that that mission is something that has extended to the church throughout history, that we as the followers of Jesus are given this same mission to go and make disciples of all nations. If you look at scripture, you look at the Bible, there is this heart that God has for the nations. It's reflected from the first book of the Bible in Genesis all the way through the last book of the Bible, Revelation. There's this idea throughout Scripture that God wants to extend goodness and grace in his kingdom to every tribe, to people of every ethnic group, to people that speak every language and live in every nation, every color, right? God has a heart to see people, period, come to know him. And he does that by using his church. We talk a lot about this concept of the church here at Koinonia. We frequently think of the idea of church. I go to church, right? It's a place. It's a location. But correctly understood, the church is not a place we go. The church is a people that we are. Right? The church is not a location. It's not a building. The church, according to the Bible, is a group of people, a community of people following after Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells his church, the community of people following after him, he says, I have a task for you. I have a mission for you. And that is to go and tell so that people in every nation will come to know me and know my goodness and my grace. And we believe that that command, that instruction from Jesus is incredibly important. And so what do? We pause each year and we say, just as Andrew said, just sometimes we've got to remind ourselves, sometimes we've got to stoke that fire that this is something that's incredibly close to the heart of God, is for people to go and tell so that there are disciples from every nation throughout the world. And not only every nation, but every people group. You go to a lot of countries and there's lots of different people groups throughout that country. And God has a heart for every ethnic group, every people group, everywhere in the world. And he wants people, period, to come and know him. And so when we look at this whole story and this theme throughout scripture of God's hearts for the world, there's probably one verse that is probably the most famous verse that talks about that. Anybody want to guess what it is? It's like when you go to like football stadiums, they hold it up sometimes. See it like people tag it on like under bridges and stuff. John 3:16. John 3:16, it says there, for God so Now, I'm not expecting all you guys to know this, but if you guys are, some of you guys should know this. All right, so God so, all right, the
world.
He
gave.
All right, and he gave his, something of great value, right? His son, right, to die on a cross to pay for our sins so that we will know eternal life, right? That we will experience life everlasting. The verse says, you know, that we will not perish. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? So God so loved the world, right? Not just certain people, not just the Israelites, the world, right? And he gave, right? So he gave because of his love. And as I was thinking about that verse the other day, I just thought, like, what if I put my name in there? How would that blank be filled in? If I say, so Jeff so loved the world, he, what? And man, that really just kind of stuck me, you know? It's kind of like, number one, do I love the world like God does? And am I willing to give, right? And God gives something of infinite worth, right? Because he loved the world for their benefit. And as I reflected on that and the Great Commission and the story and theme of God's heart for the nations and people, I just thought, just what am I willing to give for that purpose, for that calling that I believe is a command given by Christ to the church? And the church is anyone who follows after Jesus. If you claim to follow Jesus, you got to wrestle with that. What does that look like for you? What does it mean for you to love the world and give like God? And to be a part of this idea of the Great Commission, this task that we have been given to take the gospel to the nations. Over these last 5 or 6 weeks, we've been talking about this idea of being contagious, right? That we're all spreading something, hopefully not the flu and things like that, but right, we're all spreading something, hopefully not negativity and pessimism, but right, we're supposed to spread things of God's kingdom, and we're supposed to spread the gospel message of hope, because we believe that salvation is found in Jesus. It's in his name, right? That through Jesus and knowing him and placing our faith and trust and hope in him, we experience God's forgiveness, right? And we experience life everlasting with God in his kingdom. And this is what it's about, right? This is what Scripture is about. And what Scripture, right, the Bible says is like, we're a part of this. God invites us to be a part of this, right? To be a part of his heart for the nations. And what does that look like, right? What am I willing to give? And am I willing to love? So much of times, right, what we love, like giving follows what we love, right? And I just want to challenge you. What does that blank look like for you? Can you say, I so love the world? A lot of times it's, I so love myself that I give to myself, you know? But I think God's saying, do you love the world? And are you willing to give and make sacrifices so that others may know, so that others may experience God's salvation? They may hear the name of Jesus, because we believe that salvation is found in no other name but Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we place our faith and hope in him. And so there's this theme throughout Scripture. There's this command that's given. There's this idea, God loves the world, and he gave a lot so that they may know him and know his peace and his salvation. During the series, we're talking about giants. Turn on the news, pick up a newspaper. There's lots of giants in the world, lots of things that just seem to cripple people, lots of things that seem to limit people from experiencing goodness and grace and mercy and hope and peace and joy in their lives. We're talking about global giants, and what does it look like in, say, Ethiopia? What are the giants that they face, or Cambodia, or these other countries? There's some big giants. There's an intimidating giants. Things like just extreme poverty. You know, when we look around in the United States, I mean, we might see some poverty, but it's relative poverty. It's poverty that is relative to what others have. In places like Cambodia or Ethiopia, you see absolute poverty that on any scale, compared to anyone in the world, they're poor, period. I think half the world lives on less than $3 a day. Half the world that are just trying to survive, just trying to make enough to eat something for the next day. 3.5 billion people in the world. That's a big giant. One of the other giants that we talk about is the giant of just education and lack of education and just the number of kids throughout this world that don't have access to a school, to a teacher. And this lack of education just continues this cycle of poverty and brokenness over time. It really affects, in many places in the world, girls much more than boys. Many families that can't afford it because they can't afford a uniform or anything else, they'll send their boys to school and the girls go work in the fields. That's what Care India, it's so exciting what they're doing there with keeping girls in school and partnering with families through this program called Save the Girl. They're attacking a giant there. This giant of lack of education, this giant of treatment towards women, and they're attacking a giant there. Another giant we talk about is self-serving leadership, selfish leadership. There's this story again and again and again and again that you hear in so many countries of leaders who come into power, whether that be in a governmental sense, in sometimes in the church, sometimes in just other places where they have influence, and they serve for themselves. They serve to build themselves up for their own fame, for their own wealth, for their own good. And they don't serve for others. They're not humble leaders. And there's this giants. And we want to partner with ministries that are building godly leaders because we believe that godly leaders make a difference in God's kingdom throughout the world. There's this a study that a sociologist made about missions, and the cool thing is that the Christian missions, they're attacking these giants, and they have been for centuries. That when missionaries have gone and served and gone to tell and to love and to express compassion and mercy, things change in those places. Things change in those cultures. And so there's a quote this is a sociologist who did a study on places where there had been significant missionary activity. He says, the areas where missionaries had a significant presence in the past are on average more economically developed today with better health care, lower infant mortality, lower corruption, greater literacy, higher education, and a higher level and status for women. There's more freedom and there's more democracy in those places. The church, when we send missionaries, when we go, those global giants, they're being knocked down in those places. And that's exciting, right? That's exciting. And what Woodbury, the guy that did this study, says is he says, the greatest agent for change that we have seen in this world is Christian missions. And when he talks about that, he's talking about the things that we can see, those giants. And all those giants are being addressed, but there's a bigger giant that is being addressed at the same time that I think is a greater reason that we go and that he doesn't even talk about and consider and study. And that's the giant of spiritual darkness. And that's the greatest giant we believe that there is in the world today is spiritual darkness, people who are far from God. We were at a thing, we got a little quiz. I'm gonna give you a little quiz. If I was to ask you, how many doors in the United States would you have to knock on before someone could kind of talk about Jesus? And maybe not fully, it's not like this big theological thing, but they at least would know the basic story of Jesus and that he came to save. Like, how many doors do you think you need to knock on? 10? Anybody else? I think in the United States, and again, this is going to vary by region, but it's roughly around like five doors. That's not the case in most countries in the world. Right, you go to certain countries in Europe, you're talking like 500 doors. Oh, yeah. You go to places in Africa, North Africa, Asia, India, you're talking about thousands, tens of thousands sometimes, of doors that you would have to knock on before someone maybe even has heard the name of Jesus, let alone be able to explain who he is and what he's done. There's this giant of spiritual darkness, and we believe that the greatest injustice in this world is not poverty, it's not lack of clean drinking water, it's not any of those things. We believe the greatest injustice is that people do not know Jesus. And so everything that we do at Koinonia in our missions programs is about Jesus and about people coming to know Jesus. And we believe that as that happens, those other giants start to get tackled as well. That when people start to know Jesus, that things change in their economy and that poverty is broken and that education comes along. That's what the study shows. Because those missionaries went, they didn't go just to do good works. They went to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed, good works also followed and change began to happen. And those giants began to be knocked down. So that's why we focus on this. This is why we talk about this, because there are global giants that we believe we are called as a church to address, to knock down. And we believe that Cambodia, they're knocking down giants. And at the same time, they're building some giants. Those kids, I mean, I've been to Cambodia, and I've heard them worship. Some of you have been there. Those kids are going to be giants. They're going to be spiritual giants in their nation, and they're going to bring about greater change in more lives. Because we're investing, because we're saying, well, we're going to help support that orphan home so those kids can get an education, so they can come to know Jesus, so that they can be healthy, right? And how exciting is that? And that there's statistical evidence that Christian missions is making a significant impact in the world for God and for goodness. And so we believe it's important to give and to go. Romans 10:14 says this. Says, how then shall they call on him, right, call on Jesus, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone telling them? And how shall someone tell them unless they are sent? And then it goes on and says, it is written, this is quoting something from the Old Testament, it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news, right? It's just a story. It's like, how can they proclaim Jesus when they don't know him? How can they know him if no one tells them? How can they, you know, how can the people that want to tell them go unless they're sent? There's this kind of this line, right? And it's this emphasis that as the church, we're called to send and we're called to go. And we're all called to be a part of this commission, the Great Commission, to proclaim the good news that Jesus saves. And there's places in this world where people never heard the name of Jesus. There's places in this world where there's just deep spiritual darkness and brokenness. And we want to see and partner with God and his kingdom to see change happen in those places. And so that's why this is important. 2/3 of the world don't know Jesus. 7 billion people, whatever that divides out to, I'm not a great mathematician. Not that that's a hard problem, is it? 2/3 of 7. Whatever it is, it's a big number, right? It's a lot of people that have never heard Jesus, many of whom have never even had opportunity. So we believe this is important, and we believe this is a mission that God has put the church on. We believe this is a mission that God has put Koinonia on. We believe that this is a mission that God has put you on and me on, and that we are to be a part of going, sending, giving, so that some may know Jesus and come to experience his grace and his salvation. As Andrew said earlier, that my wife and I are, you know, kind of at a point of just feeling like it's time for us to step out and go as missionaries. This is something that for me started long ago. I don't know if I want to emphasize that too much. It was when I was in high school, which was long ago. Much longer than I want to admit. I went on a trip to Panama when I was in, I think I was 16 or 17. And on that trip, just God did something to me. And I remember pretty specifically on a dirt road in Panama, there was a older couple, they lived, I mean, just a shack. And just met them, don't even remember their names. I didn't know hardly any Spanish, even though I'd been taking it in high school. I was not the greatest student. But just saw joy and peace in them. And for me, at that age, I rocked my world because I thought, man, it's about stuff, it's about career, it's about success, it's about comfort and ease. This is what I thought, you know, that's what good life is. And here I meet this couple who I mean, it's a shack. Like our garage, our shed was nicer than where they lived. And they were full of joy. And they're full of peace. And they're full of generosity. and worship. And for me, I was like, all those giants of comfort and success and materialism that were in my heart, God started to knock those things down. And God kind of just shook me up. And I was like, okay, maybe the stuff of life is not kind of what I thought. And just since that time, just there's been other opportunities that just kind of God opened doors for me to go to other places. I went to Chile and worked with a ministry there. When I was in college, I went to a place called Taylor University, which I'm sure none of you have heard of. It's a small it's a Christian university in Upland, Indiana, which I'm sure none of you have heard of Upland, Indiana, I'm guessing, because it's just basically a bunch of cornfields in Upland, Indiana. And just at Taylor, I had opportunity just to go on a couple other trips. One semester, I could have stayed in Upland, Indiana, which none of you have heard of, and surrounded by cornfields, or for the same amount of money, it wouldn't cost me any different, I could go spend a semester in Jerusalem. And for me, that wasn't, I was like, Upland, Israel, Jerusalem, where? So I spent a semester there. And just, I mean, as I had those experiences, just kind of this greater heart that God has for Jews and Muslims and those who are far from him, and just people in tribes in Panama and people that just don't know him, and God's heart for the nations. But I don't think this is just for me. I don't think it's just because God has done these things. I think it's for all of us. And maybe you haven't had those same opportunities. I truly believe that this is for all of us. And so this has kind of been a long story of us kind of getting to this point. And then when I met Courtney, just both of us just had this heart for missions even before we met each other. I'm going to invite her to come up here because she's awesome. Welcome her up here. I have to switch mics. Because you talk too loud. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. I do talk loud. I probably don't even need the microphone.
So. Yeah, hold it up.
I don't need it.
You don't need to hold it up. So just part of our story is just that we've, you know, for us, it's never been, I don't think it's ever been a question of if for missions for us. It's always been a question of when and where. And we felt a calling for a long time towards missions. And it's, you know, we've been on staff here now 11 years. And this whole time, we've kind of felt this call to missions, and we just kind of, we're always constantly seeking God of what is it, what's the right step, and when's the right time. But there's just been some scriptures that have just really resonated with us during this season. I know that one's on your heart that you want to share.
I just, like Jeff said, like Jeff said, you know, he had individual experiences and opportunities through his family growing up, and I also, through the church that we grew up in, had opportunities to go on short-term teams. My father was in the Navy for 23 years, and so I moved every 2 to 3 years of my life, so I was pretty used to uprooting and starting over. And honestly, I think that definitely lends itself to the call that God has placed on my life to uproot my family and go somewhere else. But through those short-term teams and experiences, both Jeff and I noticed that a common thing that you will hear when someone returns from a trip is in sharing was how blessed we are. You know, I realized how blessed we are. We went to India and come back home, and we realized how blessed we are to have running water, to have toilets that flush. You know, just simple things that you realize how incredibly blessed we are. But we also realized, I think, thanks to the scripture in Genesis 12, which is talking about the call on Abram, where he says that Abram will be blessed to be a blessing to many nations and to many people. So if we come back from those experiences or even serve here locally and realize that we are blessed, that's one step, and you're missing a little bit of it if that's where it stops, because we are indeed blessed, but we are blessed to be a blessing to others. And so for us, just the reality that the 11 years that we've served here have been an incredible blessing, and we've grown spiritually and in maturity, and we really would be different missionaries had we not spent the 11 years that we've spent here. So the desire to take that blessing, the incredible blessing that you have been to us, and to share that with other people, and to have the opportunity to lead other people to Christ and to train other leaders. We're just super excited about it.
Yeah, we just feel like, you know, the different opportunities that we'd pursue, just, you know, God never opened those doors or allowed those doors to open. And so we're just at a point where the doors opened up to go to Mozambique, which Mozambique is in southern Africa. It's on the southeast corner, kind of on the Indian Ocean in southern Africa. And just to go and just feel like there's just a great fit for us as a family. Just that God wants to use us in a greater way and to do things through us. And, you know, talking about giants, there are giants in Mozambique, the giants that we'll talk about, that we've talked about in the kind of missions walkthrough, the ones I mentioned, those are all giants in Mozambique. There's more giants in Mozambique, and we want to go and, you know, knock down some giants, you know, with a team of people. We'll work with a ministry called OMS, or One Mission Society. They've been there for almost 20 years in Mozambique, so they kind of have some roots on the ground. And we're going to kind of plug into some new ministry opportunities. Seems like the ministries that we're going to, you know, kind of jump into are kind of newer and just in growth. And, you know, kind of coming to that whole leadership issue and the spiritual darkness, I just would have opportunity to teach at a seminary and Bible school there in Mozambique. And just, again, believing that godly leaders who serve God do incredible things for God's kingdom in their own nation. And so I want to just invest and build up and equip and release pastors and Christian leaders and missionaries in Mozambique to kind of change their nation. And also believing that God wants to use those students to change Africa and other nations as well. And so that's one opportunity that we're going to do. And just so you know, like the religious landscape of Mozambique. Mozambique was colonized by Portugal, and so there's lots of kind of Catholic influence from the past, but that influence is kind of really mixed with lots of tribal religion and witchcraft and superstition, and it's kind of this mix of belief. And so it's even further reason why there needs to be godly leaders who know God's word and stand firmly on it. They said that Mozambique is the witchcraft capital of southern Africa. And so there's all kinds of spiritual darkness in that land that we believe God wants to knock that giant down. We've been involved with youth soccer for 5-6 years now with our son, and just really love that. Just see this open door to kids' lives. Half of Mozambique's population are under 18. There's this great need just to see kids be mentored and discipled and evangelized, and what a great tool soccer is in a place like that. I mean, it's the most popular sport by far, and just that we kind of have been doing that for several years and now have opportunity to do that as well, and that our family will be able to do that together is very exciting. And then Courtney just has a heart for special needs, and I'll just let you kind of share about that.
So there's a ministry that's been started in Mozambique, and it's called Helping Hands Ministry. And I think at this point, it's really in its very beginning stages. And right now, I think mostly what's being done is kind of fitting wheelchairs for people who are in wheelchairs with wheels that, I mean, on dirt roads, it's a little easier to get around on with like a wider wheelbase, kind of like a mountain bike tire type thing fitted to the wheelchairs. As my understanding is, that's kind of mostly what's being done right now. But there is so much opportunity for that ministry to grow. And I've really, since a very young age, felt called to just be involved in special needs ministry. When I was in elementary school, in fourth grade, I believe, I didn't spend my recess playing outside. I actually volunteered in the what would be a special day class now, or special education classroom, and did some tutoring with the kids. And I loved it. I really did. And I've long felt a calling to that population. I've worked in special ed for a really long time. I feel that it was regrettable when I went into school. I was 17 and deciding on a major, and sometimes I think it's the wrong time in our lives to decide on what we want to do for the rest of our lives. But special education was only offered as a master's program, and as a 17-year-old, I was like, that's not for me. So I kind of just altered my course in my education to not pursue that. But I have always prayed and asked that God would allow me to use my gifting and my passion for that without going back to school. school. And I've been able to do that, being a paraprofessional at elementary schools here. But I really feel that in the United States, we have so many laws and provisions for that population. We've come a really long way, and most of the rest of the world does not share those benefits. And people in that population are very much overlooked, and there's a lot of stigma that can go along with that, being that you have a family member that has a special need. So I'm just really super excited. You know, we've pursued numerous opportunities. And when I say that, I hope that everybody, most people that know us very closely, know that in the 11 years that we've been at Koinonia, it's never been looking, like we're dissatisfied with where we are, and so we're looking to leave. The 11 years that we've served here have been incredible, but we've always been open and knowing ultimately that God has something else for us. So it's really exciting. Of the few things that we've pursued over the last 11 years that really haven't, that God hasn't opened the doors for, Mozambique is very unique and different in that it's not just Jeff responding to a calling and to a job that he'll get to minister in, and we as his family get to go along for the ride. There are specific things in the ministry involved with Mozambique that we are each individually gifted for. And for me to be able to have a ministry already in place to jump into that works with special needs people, and for me to be able to take how God has gifted me and the passions that he's given me to take that even further is just really, really exciting. So,
yeah. Just seems to fit really well with us and just how God's wired us and the timing. So we're excited. I mean, we just really do believe the whole idea of giants, that we are going to be a part of a team there that is going to address giants in Mozambique, and you're part of that. You're going to be part of that. Just so you know, in the bulletin, my wife told me this morning I didn't do a good job writing the description, because she said it's not.
It says.
You don't have to tell on me. Come on.
Point it out. So it says, Jeff and Courtney will be going to Mozambique in the summer. It sounds like we're taking a short-term trip or, just going for the weekend.
So she said it should have said we are moving.
Just so there's an understanding, it's not a short-term thing.
We're moving there in the summer. So we'll still be around a while. And we love this place. This place is home. And we've grown so much because of you guys and being a part of this community. And we're going to continue to be a part of this, and maybe we'll be pretty far away, but we're going to, have teams come. We'll be able to update you guys and still be a part of it. And we're here, until summer. And so I just think we all have these moments where God kind of tugs on our heart. I believe every single one of us does. When we sing worship songs, when we're in scripture, we're in prayer and discussions, and God pushes us. And sometimes we can leave that moment and not come back to it. And maybe then God brings it back up. And I just want you to know, we're ordinary people. We really are. I mean, we don't feel like we're special or unique. I mean, we're just ordinary people. But I'm thankful God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I believe that's not just for us, but that's for every single one of us in this room who follow after Jesus. And that whole thing of God so loved the world, he blank, right? He gave, right? Now, what are we willing to give to be a part of this? That's why that pledge card is in there. We're only able to go as people give. The Tamayos serving in China, they're only able to be there and to serve and to talk about Jesus with people because people give. And that's why we talk about this, because we believe that we're supposed to be a part of this, that God wants to use us going, sending, being a part of this, praying. That's why those prayer maps are so important. Prayer is so important in this, because we're called. We're called to express God's love and hope to people who are far from him, whether they be in Hanford in Kings County or Mozambique or Cambodia or India or Ethiopia or Mexico or wherever, right? We have opportunity, and God has called us as a church, as the church, right, to take that message to those who need it. And so Oceans, you guys know, many of you guys know that song, but that song is just really pushed us over the last several months, and it just says, Spirit lead me. I'm not gonna sing, but Spirit lead me. Yeah, she could sing, I cannot. But Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. Right, let me walk upon the waters wherever right? Wherever you would call me. And that's been our prayer, wherever. And sometimes that means it's our neighbors. Sometimes that means sacrificing something and giving. Sometimes that means moving your family to Mozambique. but wherever that is, we want to follow after God's heart. And we just thank you guys for being a part of this. And we love you guys. We love this place. And we're glad that we're going to be around for another, whatever, 8 or 9 months. We hope you guys are glad about that too.
Hey, I'm glad you said that last part, that you're just an ordinary person like all of us, because I got to tell you, I don't feel God's calling me to Mozambique. Yeah. Maybe Hawaii, possibly, but, you know, but it is true, isn't it? You know, what I picked up as you shared, that both of you had a touch from God when you went on a missions trip. What would you say to someone here today who's never been on a missions trip?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, yeah, go. You know, and I think we can build up all kinds of things like fear or intimidation, money, whatever it may be that prevents us from going. I think God does something when done in the right way. God does something in your heart on those trips.
I went to a missions trip in Europe two times, but my first time to a developing nation, third world country, was with you to Ethiopia. It changed my life. It's somewhat expensive, but it was very, very impactive in my life, well worth the investment. You guys have had a heart for missions for a long time, but really, you don't have to go to another part of the world to be a missionary, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something unique about missions that it is cross-cultural, mm-hmm. but and we live in the United States, it's the melting pot, right? I mean, you can go cross-culturally, across the street sometimes, you know, and there's just this, and whatever it is, like we're called to be a part of. Contagious, right? We've been talking about being contagious, right? And sharing the gospel of hope to anyone.
You know, when I came here in 2004, this church family was committed to missions and reaching out beyond themselves, not just to our world, but to the world. You know, we all have a world that we live in. You have people that you encounter, but we're talking about the world, people you probably never will encounter. And there's always been a real healthy attitude towards that, and you have fostered that. You've developed that over the last 11 years. What would your hope be for us as a church family with regards to this missions?
Yeah, I mean, like, I frequently say, you know, and it's kind of the tagline for us at missions, and it's just, I mean, pray, give, go. And I mean, just that I think we are called to pray for missions. That's why those prayer maps, prayer makes a difference. And I know that talking with TJ and Katrina and Skyping with them, they're just like, hey, we want your prayers. We need your prayers. Like, they're in the midst of this difficult transition. And they say, pray for us. Please be praying for us, because we believe prayer matters. Mm-hmm. Giving, right? Giving to missions. I mean, without money, it's just a financial commitment to give to missions. I mean, and that money goes to do significant things in the world as we sacrifice. And what's amazing is we sacrifice little things that, you know, for us are maybe a little bit painful, or, you know, just that the whole notion, that giant of comfort and ease and convenience and materialism, you know, Starbucks, whatever it may be, right? And sometimes those little sacrifices make such a big difference in a place like India or Mozambique or China, Mexico, just to give and to be sacrificial. And then, yeah, I mean, some of you might be called to go to missions. I mean, that's always the big fear if you say, like, God, I'm willing, you know, you're gonna be sent to Africa. I guess that's our story here, right? And we're excited about that. We believe there's just such a significant thing about that. But just be willing to go. And maybe that's a short-term team. Maybe that means going to Baja on a trip. Maybe that means, you know, going to your neighbors and serving them. But just, yeah. I say, pray, give, go.
Well, the reason I had Jeff share his story today, even though they're not leaving for about 8 months, is because there's a lot of preparation that has to be done. And we've talked as a church in leadership and on the board, and we have committed ourselves to supporting them to some extent, to sending them and standing alongside of them, because when you find someone who's worthy of support, that's who you want to invest in. Pastor Blake, Andrew mentioned that, and Rena, who's doing the work in Mexico, they were the former pastors here. We're committing to support them at some level. TJ Tamayo, we know him. We know his wife. We're committed to supporting them. This is a couple who's been well proven over the last 11 years. I will really be saddened when that day comes, but our loss is Mozambique's gain. And we don't lose people, we send people, because that's what it's all about. You know, we don't keep our hands on anyone. If God tells someone to go someplace, our hands are up, because we don't want our fingerprints on anyone. But this couple is worthy of our support. I told you in first service, I'm going to commit to Donna. I just felt like this morning we were supposed to make a personal commitment too, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I know she wants to. As a matter of fact, she'd like to go with you. If she could.
And we hope, I mean, like, we want Koinonia to send teams. We hope to see some of you guys come visit us in Mozambique and serve alongside with us there.
You can bet on that, okay? Stand up with me, okay, as we can.
I'll also just mention that in the kind of missions walkthrough in the great room, we have some brochures. There's some banners talking about their ministries. There's some brochures there about ours. And there's also at that table, as well as at guest services, if you want to get on an email list so we can kind of update you with what's going on, that's there as well. And it looks like Buzz has a word. I'm going to have my girls come up. Is Cohen here? My son? That's good, right? I don't know where my son is.
It's 12:27. Do you know where your children are?
He may not be here at the moment, so, but these are our daughters, so let's, you guys, sure.
He's not from Mozambique, but he's from Ethiopia.
Yes.
Those words are good enough. Brother Buzz has a word for this family.
While you were sharing, I saw a soccer ball, a small soccer ball. In Africa, when you don't afford a soccer ball, you get a bunch of clothes together and sew them together, and you play soccer. When I saw that ball, it was a small ball, and then eventually start to grow to a point where you can not even push it. A small beginning, God said, don't despise. It might be a small beginning, but God has a big thing for you and for your family. This is what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy. And this is almost the end of his life, and he's encouraging Timothy. And he said this, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouths of giants, out of the mouths of lions." There is lion in Mozambique. But I saw the ball. It's so unique, and it has different colors. And you're trying to kick it, and as you kick it, it seems to be passing, as you know, soccer. Unless you pass the ball, you never score a goal. But I see you passing the ball from one to another, and finally, you say, "It is well with my soul." The Lord bless you as you go.
Wow. Lord, the plans of a man are just that. They're the plans from a human perspective. For your vision and your will to be accomplished, it cannot be done in our own strength. The vision that you have placed upon this church, a vision to touch China and Ethiopia and Cambodia and Mexico and now Mozambique. God, that can't be accomplished in our own strength. We need to do what we can do, but you'll need to multiply that so that it can perform the miraculous need that is out there that we actually sang about today. We do need a miracle. So in these next 7 months, I pray that you would provide whatever needs to be provided for those serving in these six countries. I pray that you would now provide for and open doors for this couple, Jeff and Courtney, and their kids, so that the path would be made straight. May the crooks in the road be made straight for them to walk on, and may we see the fulfillment of the vision that you have given. As James said, this is our plans, but you have a hand in it, so we're waiting upon you, O Lord. You said to not wait to step out and then you'll receive power, but step out and then you'll receive power. This family, 8 months now, is stepping out, and we are standing alongside them. So I pray for them, but I also pray for the larger picture of all that you want to do through Koinonia Church. And I pray over the next couple of weeks as we do this 21-day fast, as we call out to you, that the spiritual blindness will begin to give way to sight, that you will raise up people to go across the street and talk to their neighbors, to go to their jobs and talk about you to their coworkers, to be in their college classes and talk to their fellow classmates, to go to other countries, Lord, and to begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us as a church to become all that you've created us to be and do all that you've told us to do so that your kingdom might grow. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.